So you got your Bibles. We're going to go to part two. I know you've been waiting for part two. Amen. And we got a good word in the pulpit series, too. First, I said the need in you and how to meet it. You want to take time this week. Amen. Don't let the dog eat your bulletin. Huh? Amen. If he does, give me a call. I'll send you another one. Amen. They will bless you. God, we thank you for what you're doing. I said we thank you for what you're doing. When the prophet, the apostle said, Dr. Coe said, God's wanting to do something. Yes, he is, but he's also doing something. I said he's also doing something. That's why we're getting the reaction. It's a tip-off. It's a sign. God is moving. And he's trying, whenever the enemy manifests and tries to, you know, he's always trying to get attention. You know why? Because he's trying to draw attention away from what God's doing. We were in the men's breakfast yesterday morning. Whoo, the power of God in that place. What do we have, 7 or 8 guys here yesterday? The power of God on Cowboy and just Dr. Colson and myself, we were all there. The guys, and I want to tell you, man, I thought this whole place is going to get saved. The word was coming forth so powerful you could feel the Spirit of God. And I tell you, the devil can't take it. He can't handle it. He can't handle what God's doing in you. So he tries to distract. He'll try to get you off the track. He'll try to stop. Amen. But we're unstoppable. He said, be unstoppable, unmovable, always abounding. And so in the next, the little partition there on the next section, all of a sudden there's a guy falls out and starts having a seizure. I tell you, the devil can't take it. And so we rushed around classes whenever. I mean, you know, it's not a good scene at Denny's. Amen. Just a nice, quiet morning. Amen. Hallelujah. And we go over there, Dr. Coves and I, and we walked over there, I think Cowboy 2, and we came over there. I laid hands on him, and I said, peace. Peace be still. So we rebuked this in the name of Jesus. And some guy was kneeling down there. He said, don't touch him. Don't push him too hard. I felt like slapping him and say, get out of the way. You don't even know what you're doing. 7 paramedics came. The officers came. By the time we got through, we saw him in the parking lot, him and his wife and kids. And then they'd been fasting and praying or something, the wife told me, during the week. And he was doing fine in the car. Amen. But it was a distraction. The enemy was trying to get the work and the move of God to be stopped. And he did for a little while, but we just came back in there and just picked it right back up. And so we pick it right back up. We say, hey, we'll deal with that, but we're going to keep going. We are not backing off. Amen. Because God told us what? When I come off the mountain, he said, you and me, we will get through what? This. We will get through our this. And I declare in the name of Jesus, we will get through this too. God said we will get through this. Hallelujah. Because we're going to another level, doctor. Amen. God has determined in this place. Oh, and the devil has fought it for years, has he not, Sister Beverly? I mean, God has moved, but we ain't seen nothing yet. You're right, Doctor. God not only is doing, he wants to do something bigger and greater than anything we've ever seen or known. He loves to take humble places. He was born in a stable, praise God. Whoo! How many believe the road was paved to the stable? Makes me feel better when I think about it. Amen. Glory to God. God bless your courageous hearts. I love every one of you. Amen. You love God. You love God. And I thank God for you. And I thank God that you just keep on going. Amen. Amen. We're getting more prayer, though. I believe because we're going further, we got to have more prayer. Prayer has to accompany. In my own life, God is saying, you're going to have to seek me earlier. You're going to have to seek me because the enemy will contest every inch of ground. Amen. Amen. But God is helping us do that. It's so good. I said, it's so good. It's so good. I'm so glad we're in this to win it. Amen. In it to win it. We're in it for the long haul. We're in it. We've already come too far already. My God, I've already paid too much not to get the payoff. Take me to the window, baby. Hallelujah. I said, take me to the window. Pay me. There's a message coming on that too. Woo! Shalala. I'm not trying to get you to gamble or anything. I'm just telling you, God's got a pay window. I said, God's got a pay window. And the Lord's saying that we haven't nearly got what we're supposed to have for what we've put in. I said, for what we've put in, we haven't got nearly a fraction of what should be coming back. That's about to change, already beginning to change. Mark it down, child of God, I'm telling you, regardless of all the distraction of the enemy and trying to get us off track. No, it's already happening. I said, it's already happening. And just mark it down and just know that's what the reaction is to. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. We're in part two of You Will Get Through This. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew. Matthew is our text. Mm-hmm. Matthew, the 26th chapter. I believe it's 26. How about 1 Corinthians?
Amen. If you want to stay in Matthew, it's okay.
Glory to God. 1 Corinthians is really our text this morning. Turn to 1 Corinthians. We're glad for all those that will be listening by way of our podcast, Glad Tidings podcast, church podcast. More and more people, we're pointing them to it. They wish they could hear the messages, and we're telling them you can hear them now. Amen. On your smartphone. Glory to God. I don't have a smartphone yet. I have a dumb phone, but I'm working on it. Amen. Amen. My wife has a smartphone. Amen. She's smart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Would you stand with me and honor the Lord? And while you're standing to honor him in this book, would you just put your foot on the devil one more time? Yeah. Yeah. Just tell him, hey, you're under my feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's given me power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm us. Amen. That's what Jesus said. No harm, no harm, no harm, no harm. Right under the blood, precious, powerful blood of Jesus. Verse 23 and 24, two verses. We had the Lord's Supper last week, but this is our text, and I will get and let you know why it's our text, even more so because we're looking at two lives and how they got through it, Jesus and Joseph. Amen? How many know if one gets through, you can get through? If one got healed, two can get healed. If one got blessed, two can get blessed. Hallelujah! If you get a breakthrough, other person can get a breakthrough. If they got healed, you can be healed. Hey! If God bless that church, he can bless this church. And is. He's blessing that family. Bless your family. Heal their children. Heal your children. Deliver them from drugs. Deliver yours. Verse 23. The Apostle Paul speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All the scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, somebody shout, when he had given thanks. That's a key phrase right there. He break it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Bread of heaven, I ask you to feed us this morning. You are the living bread. You are the manna that came from heaven. Come and feed us till we overflow this morning. Come and minister to these waiting, hungry hearts. Lord, thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke and the glory that is filling all the house. We thank you for bringing us through one of the greatest weeks of our lives in spite of all the attacks and distractions of the enemy. Your anointing is flowing deeper and greater, and the glory is beginning to fill all the earth and fill, Father, our nation. Fill, Father, this state. Fill, Father, every area. Lord, we thank you. Fill us today, bread of heaven. Feed us. Speak a word to us, Lord, that we can take with us, that will feed us and take us, even like Elijah, the next 40 days. We thank you for it now. Let your anointing destroy every yoke. I bind every hindrance. I thank you that we are the beloved of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. We heard Wednesday night, blessed be the Lord. Boy, that was a great word. Blessed be God who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. All I needed was one word. He said just that word, blessed be God, will back the devil off. Somebody shout, blessed be God. Yeah, whatever you're facing, you just confess, blessed be God. Amen. Blessed be God. And watch it back off, back off. Blessed be God, which has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. Every physical blessing first comes in the spirit. Huh? In the spirit. God is blessing us in the spirit, and it'll manifest in the physical. Hallelujah. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. John the Beloved said, even as your soul prospers, the Lord said through him, your soul prospering, there it comes, in the spirit, and then manifesting in the flesh. Glory to God. We need more spiritual blessing. We need to hook into the spiritual blessing, which we're doing today, so it can manifest in the physical. How many could use more blessing in the physical? I know you're blessed of God. Blessed be God who hath blessed us. I know you're blessed, but we need that blessing to manifest. Huh? In the physical realm, the natural realm, super with the natural. Glory to God. Super with the natural. You don't have to be supernatural, but God has the super to go with your natural. And I'm not talking about your hairdo. Amen. I couldn't get a natural if I wanted to. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife, she has beautiful and natural. Amen. Hallelujah. We heard God's word to us last week. Let me get it to you, and then I'll get out of your way, okay? We heard last week, God's promise to us that you and I will get through our this, whatever the this is in our lives might be. Amen. Tell your neighbor one more time, you will get through this. Tell them again, you will get through your this, whatever your this is. We will get through our this here, amen, as a church. We will get through our this. We will get through our this as a city, as a state, as a nation. We will get through our this. And you will get through your this. Whatever this is you're going through. And we are going through some things, are we not? We saw the proof of that just in our First Lady. Amen. Yeah. But you will get through this. And we are getting through this. Let me quickly recap just the three things God sent me to tell you while we were resting on the mountain there in Big Bear and now back here in the beautiful Antelope Valley. One, you will get through your this. Two, this Thanksgiving month is a month that God's power is being activated in your life and circumstances. Hallelujah. I didn't say this. God said to tell you that's what he's saying. Tell three people, activate God's power. Tell them, activate God's power. How do you do that? How do you do that? Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave us the key to activating God's power. His miracle power, when she told the servants at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, he says, whatever he says unto you, do it. Look at somebody next to you and say, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Hallelujah. That is the key to the miracle. Whatever he says to you, do it. Somewhere between the time that they poured the water in the jugs and then took it to the governor, Jesus turns it into wine. The miracle happened because they did what he said. You can't just sit there, baby girl, big boy. You got to get up and pour the water of his word into your vessel and get up and do what his word tells you to do. Hallelujah. Somewhere in the process of you pouring the word into your life and somewhere as you go and do what the word tells you to do, the miracle will happen from somewhere at point A to point B. And you will get wine for your water. Probably a steak for your bread. I like steak sandwiches. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. But it's happening. It will happen. When you do what God tells you to do, stay the course. It cannot but happen. And the devil knows it. That's why he's going to try to get you to stop. Get you to try to pull you off the track. Get you to stop doing what God told you to do. He don't want you blessed. He don't want you having the miracle. But you see, the miracle is already in the making. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And see, you're already experiencing some of the miracle of God. If the devil could have, he'd have blown you all out of here. And me too. But because I keep pouring the water into my vessel, because I keep doing whatever I hear the Lord saying, praying what God says to pray, God keeps doing the miracle day after day, week after week, month after month. No way should we still be here. No way should you still be here. But the miracle keeps happening. Hallelujah. Whatever he says to you, Mary said, just do it, baby. Hallelujah. Didn't the Raiders have that motto for years? Yeah, they stopped doing it and they've been winning ever since. Amen. They need prayer if that's your team. I sympathize with you because my team's the Rams. Yeah, they have some problems too. But I've been praying. They beat the two best teams, the 49ers. I'm sorry, I know that's some of your team. And the Seahawks. Yeah. And made ducks out of them that day. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you. Somebody in Washington might hear this and send me a little present or something. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You got to get up. You got to pour it in. Amen. Amen. Activating the miracle working power of God. Hallelujah. Getting that tripwire tripped. And the third thing he told me to tell you was he will meet and supply all of your need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We know that verse, Philippians 4:19. But how many know when God tells you he's going to do it and he makes it a rhema, a personal word, that's the third thing he said, then God means what he says. He says, I'm going to supply all your need. Not just your need for money, your need for health, your need for recreation, for rest, entertainment, need for love, companionship, whatever it is. I will meet all of your need. Hallelujah. Woo. We got a need-meeting God. Somebody shout and say it with me, God meets all my needs. Yeah, he does. I know you don't like a devil, but God meets all my needs. Hallelujah. And I thank him for it. And as we said before, because of the two and three things God does, the activation of God's power in your life and God meeting all your needs, we can focus on how to get through your this. And out of all the Old Testament and New Testament figures, God drew my attention to two, Jesus and Joseph. Actually, three last week because we talked about Job and his trouble. Amen. You know about Job's trouble, don't you? And how God blessed his latter end more than his beginning. Amen. Job 42:2. We ended last week with the overview of Joseph. Can you open those back doors? We'll get a little air in here. Yeah. We need somebody to fan the pastor. So maybe some little girl. Maybe some, well, my wife with a grass skirt and maybe a palm branch or something. Well, I can dream anyway. I mean, come on, man. Joseph was a dreamer. Many of you know the story. Joseph, favorite son of his father Jacob, from a family of 12 brothers, a big family, hated by his brothers, and betrayed and sold into slavery by those same brothers to a caravan on their way to Egypt. Spends 13, 14 years in Egyptian prisons and dungeon, helps others get their dreams met, and then's forgotten by the very ones that he helped. Have you ever been forgotten by somebody you helped? My God. Then he's thrown back into jail, falsely accused of rape, convicted, went from bad to worse. We even shared that last week, to terrible. Have you been there? Many have, and some are there now, and it's not a good place and not a good situation. It wasn't good to start with. It didn't get any better. And now, well, it's Beauty and the Beast. And not the Disneyland one either. Amen. Yeah. But I like, as you're turning to, and if you would, the end of a thing, don't turn here, but we saw again, and it's worth repeating. Amen. In spite of what all he went through, the Bible says, the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit better than the proud in spirit. Ecclesiastes 7:8. Amen. How many are believing God for the end of your thing to be better? Might have been good in the beginning, but you ain't seen nothing yet. The end of it will be better. And if you'll be patient in spirit versus the proud in spirit, it's easy to get proud when you're having problems. It's easy to rise up. Amen. How many know faith opens the door? Faith is believing God, trusting God. Faith opens the door, but you got to keep the door open. You know what keeps the door open? Patience. I hate that word, patience. Not really, but you know what I mean. I want it, and I want it. Yes, of course. Patience keeps the door open. How many are waiting patiently? Better are the patient in spirit than the proud in spirit. See, the proud don't wait for God. They go and take things into their own hands. They say, well, I guess God's asleep, you know. Maybe he didn't see me. Maybe he doesn't want to do anything for me. No, no, God's already working on it for you. I said, God's already working on it for you. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean God ain't doing it. That's where your faith comes in, brings the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, brings it to you. Because you can stand and you can believe what God says, God meant and God will do. Amen. He's bringing me out. Somebody shout, he's bringing me out. He's bringing me out, yeah. Yeah, 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 he'll bring you through it. Something right now, amen. God is with you. I like what the Bible says about Joseph. And as you're turning to Genesis 41:39, if you turn there quickly with me, I want to camp out there just for a little bit. Amen. As you're turning there, I want you to see Joseph's latter end and how God was with him and through it all. Aren't you glad God is with you through it all? And I see one phrase that keeps popping up as you're turning there over and over again in your story, and that was the phrase, and God was with him. And God was with him. I'll tell you, when God's with you, you can go through anything. And I know you've been through a lot of things, and so have I. And maybe you're going through something right now, huh? Anybody going through something right now? But God is with you too. You may not see it, you may not look like it, but God is with you. As sure as God made little green apples, he's not only bringing you through it, but he'll bring you out of it and bless your latter end better than your former. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. Matter of fact, as you turn there just this week, I'm sure you saw it, the release of our young Marine veteran after 7 months in a Mexican jail, going the wrong way at the border, lived in his car, had some firearms in his car, and you know, most of you know the story. But I'll tell you what, he'll bring you out. Been praying for him. A lot of people have been praying for him. God, amen. Sometimes others won't do anything. How many ever get frustrated when somebody that should do something doesn't do something? Somebody that should say something doesn't say anything. Somebody that should be there isn't there. But how many know God has many ways to bless you and many ways to get it done? And he worked in a lot of different ways. Mostly it works through his people praying. Works through us interceding. All of a sudden, it just happened. What a week. It just, things started popping. And then we've been praying for Kenneth Bay in the North Korean prison. Pastor, been there, what, almost 2 years. Had a 12-year hard labor sentence for being a pastor. Amen, being a Christian. All of a sudden, he gets released this week. Praise God. Kenneth Bay and another fellow with him. Glory! Thank you, Lord! Something happened in the spirit this last week. Somebody said no to the devil. America said no to communism. No to socialism. No to big government. No, government is not God. God is God. And God is working. God told me, don't rail on anybody. Don't put anybody on. He said, I'll tell you what's wrong. They're wrong-headed. Have you ever been wrong-headed? That's why we pray. If God shows you something, it's better to know what's going on so you don't act a fool. So you don't make situations worse. Amen? And really, nobody needs my 2 cents. Well, make it 1.5. I already gave. Aren't you glad? Isn't God is doing something? And God is wanting to bless everybody. He's wanting to bring everybody into the knowledge of the truth. I don't have all the truth. I don't see it all. I may be wrong-headed in some area. God will help me. Amen? But I'll tell you what, God is not done with us. There is hope, and the devil is furious. Furious! He's been slapped down. He's been slapped down right here in this church, and he don't like it. He don't like it when devils are told to cast out, thrown out. He don't like being thrown out. He don't mind you having church, but he wants to come to church with you. Uh-huh. Yeah, he don't want anything to change. Just come here, nice little homily, and go out and just let the devil keep doing what he's been doing. But see, that ain't where we're at now. Now it's all-out warfare. It's him or us. And he ain't pulling no punches about it, and we're not either. I'm in this. I'm in it to win it, praise God. And I know you are too. And I've been encouraged. I believe you are too. He'll bring you out. I said, he'll bring you out. He brought them out. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, he'll bring you out. If you don't get anything else today, I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, what I've seen this week and the witness of it, he will bring you out. He will bring us out. He will bring us out. Amen. Amen. Boy, when you're in, it seems like you'll never get out. How many know that Marine thought he'd probably never get out? Beat up. Talked about some of it. I heard a little bit of his experience there on Fox. Amen. With Greta Sustin. Beat up. How many know that's typical and that's a type of us? Huh? Anybody here hadn't been beat up? Yeah? Anybody here hadn't been beat up? You haven't been beat up? No, you have. Yeah. Yeah, if you say no again, I'm going to beat you up. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just kidding. No, my brother loves me. I can tell him that. You know, he probably beat me up. He's younger than me anyway. He wouldn't hurt an older man anyhow. Amen. Be encouraged, child of God. What happens there? It flows down to the body. Glory to God. And he's working on every part and every place. Don't rule anybody out. I said, don't rule anybody out. I don't care how wrong-headed they may be or how wrong-headed you've been. Don't rule them out. He's going to bring you out. He's going to bring us out. I feel like running around Lancaster just shouting, he's bringing me out. He's bringing me out. He's bringing you out, daughter. He's bringing you out, brother. He's bringing you out, daughter. It looks like you'll never come out, but you will. And while you're out of it, he's working to bring you out of it. Everybody ever been out of it? Don't anybody say anything, but just this week, we don't anybody know you were out of it this week. Huh? We got people cussing today that haven't cussed and don't know how to cuss some of the things they're saying. I'm just hearing different things here and there, and there are people saying, oh, my God, I don't know where that came from. Amen. The person set me off, and I never done that before. I never even talked like that. I heard a little lady, I don't know who it was, a daughter or something, I forget, said they just went off on them. Just said, it was like it wasn't even me talking. I mean, I cussed them so good. See, but I'm sorry, I repent. I didn't know you know that was in there. How many know pressure will bring things out of you? You put anybody under enough pressure, you'd be surprised what will pop out sometimes. Woo! Don't ever forget that darn cat of mine. Amen. If a cat will make you cuss, I'm telling you what, two-legged people will. Thank you, Jesus. And we continue to pray for Saeed Abedini. How many have heard of him in the Iranian prison? To be released from the Iranian prison and for being a Christian and working there in the orphanage, his wife and two daughters. And God has been working day and night. Jay Sekulow and Ted Cruz and people are rising up for this man. He's the next one's going to be released. I declare it. I decree it in the name of Jesus. Coming home to his wife. Coming home to his daughters. Ah, something happened in the spirit. Something's going on. Boy, I think it broke here last week. Glory to God. I think we started it. Okay, just let me alone. And we're also praying for the, what was her name? Asi Bibi, the Christian mother there in Pakistan, mother of five, young mother, on death row there for supposedly blaspheming their prophet Muhammad. We pray for Asisi Bibi's release. In Jesus' name. I tell you, there's a real war going on. Yeah. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing them out. Somebody shout, bring them out. Bring them out. Glory to God. Joseph, Genesis 41. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Genesis 41. I want you to see how God brought Joseph out and what he did for him. And how many know what he's done for one, he'll do for others. It is no secret what God can do. Amen. Look at verse 39. I just want to go here for a little bit. Joseph helping others' dreams to come true, his dream, and his dream finally comes true. Let me ask you, do you still have a dream? What are you dreaming for? What are you dreaming about? What is your dream? Sometimes we almost give up our dream because it seems like it will never come true. But his came true, and I believe God told me to tell you, yours will come true too. Amen. And here in this chapter, God gives Joseph a the interpretation of Pharaoh's troubled dream and the solution to the potentially deathly and destructive problem. I mean, no, God's got the solution to the problem. And we got some problems, but we've got opportunities for God to show us. Verse 39, it says this, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this," about the dream, about Pharaoh's dream, "there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." Now he's talking to a convict here, amen? He's talking to a prisoner. "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne I will be greater than you." Wow. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt." That's a turn of events there. "And then he gave him godlike power over life and death, second only to the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphaniah Paniah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt." Joseph marries. Pharaoh gives him the daughter of a major priest and politician in Egypt. He marries into a family of high nobility. If you're already married, I want you to skip this part. Amen. Hallelujah. "And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt." And look at this. This ought to encourage some of us. "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt." How many can even remember when you were 30 years old? Hallelujah. You know I'm joking. Come on, don't be mad at me. "And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And he gathered all the food. The Lord showed him the solution." I mean, no, God's got a solution. God wants to give you the solution. He's got a solution if you'll seek him. I said, God's got a solution. We've got to ask him, God, what's wrong? First, we've got to humble ourselves and come to the point where we recognize and are willing to admit something is wrong here. And quit blaming everybody else for what's wrong. Come on, we all have been there. We all go through this. It's always everybody else. And finally, you get tired of that after 10 or 20 years. You say, Lord, there must be something else wrong here because it ain't right yet. And then finally, God says, well, I'm glad you finally asked. What's wrong here? Show me. Show me the solution to the problem. How many know God doesn't want you problem-orientated all your life? He wants with every problem to let you know there's a solution. God says, if you bring me a problem, I'll give you a solution. I have a hard time with people that keep bringing me problems, but they don't bring any solutions. Excuse me. Let me spit on you, brother. How many know if you have a problem, you ought to also have a solution for it? Because God will give it to you. We think everybody else has got the solution. I'll tell you my problem because you got the solution. No, you don't have the solution. You may be able to help me a little bit, but the solution comes from God. Hallelujah. And it's wonderful when you have a problem and all of a sudden you got the solution to it. And God says, this is the solution to your problem. Hallelujah. Anybody got a problem today? Come on. If you got a problem, he's got a solution. Amen. This was a solution to a deathly destructive problem. How many know there's problems and then there's problems? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And listen to what he says here. So he gives them the solution. He says, store up for 7 years, and then the other 7 years when it could destroy the known world at that time. And he gathers the corn and the sand as the sand, verse 49. Then look at verse 50. And Joseph was born, and unto Joseph was born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, he said, hath made me forget all the toil and all of my father's house. Man, I like that. And the second son, the name of the second son he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. The older son, he says, he made me forget. What he meant was that God had made up to him for all the anguish of his youth, for the loss of his father's home, for all the loss. God made it up to him. God made me forget. all of that. I'm telling you, we serve a God who will make you forget all of the suffering, all of the pain. God, we are moving into that time that God is moving now. If my wife was in here, I'd bring her up here because she is God made me forget. Come here, God made me forget. Can you imagine Joseph calling his son, hey, you come here, God made me forget. The only time we usually say is, shut up, kids, I can't even think straight. You made me forget what I was doing. But God, all those years, all what he went through, God has made me forget. How many know you're on the threshold of God making you forget? We are moving into a time of the glory of God and the power of God. Shokoroboshikia. That is so great. God bringing one lady to me, your first lady, made me forget every evil thing the devil had done against me. I mean, when the devil can't get you anyway, he'll then go to your family. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, when he can't get you to move or move away, he'll then move to the family. But I declare on the authority of Jesus' name, God will make you forget even that, and he will work through that. God loves families, and he's moving on the family. And I'm telling you, God will help them forget, too. Amen. Everything that has gone on, every suffering, every pain, God is moving right now. Right now. Woo! He's not just going to. It's already happening. You say, brother, you expect me to believe that? I'll tell you. I'll give you an example. My daughter, I think 42 years old she is. I quit counting after a certain number because it makes me feel old. My oldest daughter, Esther, she was attacked at 18 months old as a baby with a flesh-eating disease in her face. At that time, we took her to Children's Hospital, and there were two other babies there also, two toddlers also with her. One toddler died from it, and the other, I believe, survived and went on. I didn't follow what the situation was, but I heard only one died. Well, God honored my prayer. We were a young Christian at that time. It was our first baby, and we prayed and God healed her, but in the healing, it left a kind of a caved-in part on her face, under her eye, and a little blackness also there. And how many know kids can be cruel? You ever been made fun of? You know, we all suffered some of that in school. Amen? I wasn't the most popular guy in school, wasn't the most best-looking, so we get, you know, people are cruel. Kids are cruel. And so they would call her black eye and black eye pee, and you know, that kind of stuff to hurt. And so she grows up with a not feeling good about herself, no matter what you tell him, no matter what you say. Even the makeup covered most of it and looked fine, but she knew. See, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And because of that, made a lot of wrong choices, trying to find love and acceptance and trying to feel good enough about herself. And so she goes from this to that, trying to compensate. Well, here it is, 42 years later. 41 years later, I just went to the surgery here about 2-3 weeks ago. This is the county now. They had a room full of physicians and a room full of people waiting for surgery. I could not believe what San Bernardino was doing. I think it was at Arrowhead Medical Center. I was amazed. I met the medical team. I saw the teams that were working there, were calling them and doing surgery. Amen. On the common people that didn't have the money, but they were getting good surgeons and good surgeries. And I thought, this is amazing. And the nurses and everybody attending, it was like a God thing. I knew it was a God thing. They weren't going to do it. They were going to do plastic surgery and put a silicone implant in her cheek. And the doctor said, well, no, he says, I don't think, she told me, she says, he says, she was in the office, she said, I don't think we can do that. And she just broke down. Real breaking down. You know, you break down when you get disappointed about something. So close. I'd taken her when she was 12 years old down to San Diego over here from Lancaster to see some plastic surgeons that were doing plastic surgery in South America and some of the underprivileged countries there. And I was hoping that we could get it through them because we didn't have the money for the plastic surgery. But we came back and said, no, she's not bad enough. There's many that are worse off, and we just couldn't do it. On the way back there in Valencia on the freeway, the car stalls. We're in the center divider. Cars are going, shoo, shoo. I'm moving around so we don't get, none of us need any plastic surgery after this. Amen. Make a long story longer, she She breaks down. The doctor has mercy, has pity. God is working. God can even use tears. He sees your tears. He keeps them in a bottle, he says. Yeah. He says there's a time when the angels are pouring out the answers. Ah. So the doctor changes his mind right there. I mean, no, that's a God thing. God coming 40 years later to establish and reestablish in a young baby, a young child, a young girl, so she can feel good about herself and not only get a self-esteem and a feel good about her, but can feel good about God as a father. Probably mad at God. She never said it, but I bet she was mad at God too. People act out things. And so she went into surgery. Got to go through the gums, her cheek, but that it, but swelled up and all that. But man, we see it now, and you can just tell, just night and day. I'm amazed at how God never gives up. He will come some 40 years later. In Joseph, it was some 14, 15 years, but he will come and to make you forget all of that and fulfill in your life what he said about you. Not what the devil said, not what they said, not what you said, but what he says. I tell you right now, God is moving to fulfill his purpose and his plan. I don't care where you've been, care what you've done, what they've done to you. God will have his way in your life. What he said, he will do. And there ain't enough devils in hell to stop. He can even get a plastic surgery through county where it's never, that's not supposed to happen. Woo. God, you're good. He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. You may have had a good house, but some of us didn't. Some of you still haven't forgotten, and it's still affecting your life. But I tell you, you're about, because of what God is doing, about to forget. Not only forget all of that because of what God's doing, but he's going to make you fruitful. So when he called son number two, when he called him, hey, Tutti Frutti, come here. Amen. Good and plenty. I like good and plenty. Good and plenty. You remember that? Yeah. Yeah. God hath made me forget, and he hath made me fruitful. He caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction, in the land of my slavery. Wait till you see what God will do to make you forget your pain and your suffering. Amen. I still haven't told you how they got through their this. We see how God got them through his part, how he brought them out. But next Sunday, I believe in the final part of this, I didn't know it was going to be a three-part series, I want to tell you how both he and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, got through their this. We will focus on that. God has given me a great word to help you not only to see what God's part is, but to help you in a very simple, beautiful principle from the life of Jesus and Joseph and really everybody else that will help you get through your this. Amen? God showed me a part of it I never saw before in this area. And it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a key to you getting through your this. Listen to me. Mark it down. If you want to get through your this, don't miss next week or get it on the podcast. One of the two. Amen. One word from God. One word Wednesday was all I needed. Blessed be God. As soon as I said blessed be God, the thing that was attacking my body physically began to back off. I mean immediately. Immediately. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. You're poised. God is ready. Don't back off. Press in. And God's ways are not hard. They're really very simple. Really very simple. I can't wait. Amen. I can't hardly wait to tell you what, how they got through their this. Because you're going to get through your this. Some of you have not been through your this to this date. You are still going through your this. But I want to tell you, that all that's about to change. You say, oh, you think that can change with just a word? Listen, all it takes is one word from God. Take up your bed and walk. rise up. Woo, glory. And see, this is the month of Thanksgiving blessing. So God's power is being activated on your behalf. God said it was. Told me on the mountain. And because of it, all your need will be supplied. All our need will be supplied. It's already happening. The prophet said it will happen. Yes, there's some. It's about to happen for you. But some, it's already in the process. Already in the process. I said it's already unfolding. You may not see it yet, but you will. I guarantee it on the authority of God's word. Come on, stand with me. Let's thank him for what he's doing for us. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we speak to all the thises in our lives. We thank you that you're working, you're moving now to bring us into a place where we can declare, God hath made me forget all of my affliction. He made up to me everything the devil had thought for evil against me. Joseph said they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Yes, you meant it for evil. You meant to kill me. You meant to harm me, and you did, but God was in it. The Bible says God was with him. God was with him. I think about that if that had not gone, God hadn't used that, what would have happened to Egypt and all that known world at that time? They would have all perished. The famine would have killed them all. God is able to use everything that you've been through, all of your affliction. My God. And I guarantee you, it's not too late. I know it's for some it's been a long time, but don't give up. God has not given up on you. He didn't give up on a daughter, I'm sure was mad at God, mad at everybody else. Why did God do this to me? See, lack of knowledge brings wrong deductions. God didn't do that. Sickness and disease does that. The fall. There's a bad devil who hates us and our children. Hates the church, but God loves us. And if God loves us, who can be against us? If God's for us, who can be against us? And God, we take it one day at a time. We thank you for this day. Somebody ought to thank him just for this day. Thank him that you could walk in here today. Thank him that you could see anything today. Thank him that you can taste any food you eat. Thank him for all the little things that many cannot do. I thank you, Father, I could walk in here today. I thank you for these precious souls that have come today to hear a word, to be uplifted and edified. To hear that God, too, will make me forget. Ooh, Jesus' name. What do you need to forget? What is God going to work in your life that will make you forget your affliction, your trouble, your trial? Oh, God, we thank you that we serve such a mighty God, such a wonderful God. We thank you that you've got us zeroed in. We're on the radar, God's radar. He sees you. He cares for you. So you can cast all your care on him because he cares for you. That is the motto. That is the verse God gave me, 1 Peter 5:8. 40 years ago, he said, base the ministry on he careth for you. Casting all your care on him because he careth for you. Father, I want to thank you for that care. I thank you for where we're at in our pilgrimage and our journey. I want to thank you for what you've done for me, for others. Lord, we still need you. We still need you for our families. We still need you in many areas of our living, and we'll probably need you more in the days ahead, but we know that you're more than enough. You're El Shaddai. You're a God who's more than enough. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're our provider. Your grace is sufficient for us. Your mercies are new every morning. Every day is a gift, and we will live every day and thank you for it. We praise you for it. We rejoice that you've given us another day, that we can see the beauty of this day, that we can feel, that we can taste the food we eat, that we have our families and Although they're going through trials and tribulation, we have a great God who is working, who will also make them forget all of their affliction and will make them fruitful in their land of their affliction. Woo! That applause is for you, Lord. You are worthy of our applause. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy, Lord. And Father, we want to thank you for what you're doing for us, for our families, for our nation, our cities, for our people, for the persecuted lands, persecuted peoples of the world. Oh God, so much is going on. So much suffering, so much affliction, so much hurt, so much persecution. But you're a God who remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for comforting them. Thank you for helping them. Thank you for bringing them into the land where they too will forget their affliction. Thank you for what you prepared for us. We go out looking forward to all God's hand hath provided. It is no secret what God can do. What you've done for others, you'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. He forgives us. He loves us. He's for us. He's with us, Emmanuel. God, make a statement. Show off at Glad Tidings Gathering Place. Show off in this flock. Show off in this brother, this sister. Show off in that mother, that grandmother. Show off in that brother, that sister. Show your glory and your power and your dominion and your might. Lord, the lowliest one, the one that feels the most insignificant, raise that one up. Use that one. Bless that one. The one the enemies fought against the worst. Bless the most. Show your greatness. Show your glory. Show your goodness. In the land of the living, we thank you for it. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So be it. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him glory.